All right, welcome everybody. It's Wednesday, February 10th. Thanks for being on the webinar. I have Charles Mangan with me in the background, and we're going to go over quite a number of questions here. Good questions. And many times, once again, when you guys send things into help desk or send them into content, we'll review them. We have a team of people that look at that and determine, should this be on a call? Should this be answered right away? Is this something that really should be handled one-on-one because it's on a specific thing, on a specific asset, and that's really what we do. So sometimes you might send something up into help desk and we've already answered that question, but we'll put it up on the call anyhow because we think that there's really good content there that other people will have. So if your question on here has already been answered and we're going over it again, we realize that. We just want to make sure that other people have heard the same information here. So if you're new to this, once again, and I know we have some new people, I'll try to make this quick because we do have a lot of content to go over here. But if you need to ask a question, you can do that. You can type it in on the right-hand side of your screen. If you go down to questions, you can open that up by clicking on the little arrow, and you can just type in your question as we go through. I'll do my best to take a glance at those as we're going through the information and get back and answer it that way. If you are going to participate on the call, you can also raise your hand, and there's a little icon for that, again, on your GoToWebinar control panel. Just click on that. It shows up on my screen and Charles's screen, and we know that you have some questions there, and be glad to get to those as well. If you are going to raise your hand to participate, you either need to have a microphone and speaker on your computer, or you need to be calling in on the phone so that we can make sure that you get heard on that call. All right, let's see. First thing first, I did put the handout into your GoToWebinar control panel as well. So if you scroll down on that panel and you see handouts, it should say 1 of 5. Click there and you will see tonight's syllabus. Okay, I had one person already. There you go, Kevin. I was going to say sound should be working fine and you got it figured out. Perfect. Roman, good evening as well, sir. Okay. Let's see, Roman, I'll check on that in the background, as we go through. Okay. So let's go with the first one here, Charles. This is a new titanium student. They had an offer accepted on this asset from the last tape. It's a non-performing note in Bridgeton, New Jersey. Did notice that the BPO is 9 months old. And of course, one of the things, Charles, in the class that we go through and we look at the due diligence files, obviously, and spend a good bit of time on those and always pointing out, look at those dates, look at those dates. Because I know when you get these assets into your department, Charles, you order new BPOs if you need to and that sort of thing. But I always caution everybody, look, some of these assets we might have bought and hold and the BPO is a little bit older and you may want to get another one. So they continue with saying, I would like to order an updated BPO just to be sure the asset is in the same condition, same price range. I get it. What's the best way to do that? And what do we do if we find something we don't like at that point in time? So Charles, from your perspective, being in that division that creates these tapes and puts all this together, what would you say to a student that is asking you that?
Well, Kevin, if they're... They've got a BPO in this particular case. It's 9 months old. We have valuation vendors on the member side. I believe First Valuation is on our member side. You can go in there and order an updated BPO if you like. So we buy these assets. We do a due diligence. And as we often say, you know, that BPO, we look at that as, you know, more of kind of a guideline of maybe the neighborhood. So we kind of get a feel for what the neighborhood is, what the comps are in the area. Granted, the values may go up and down, but as far as, you know, them using retail comps versus REO comps, we don't always put a lot of weight to the value on those BPOs. We look at those values for sure, but we know in our minds if we're going to sell that, we're probably going to sell it for a lot more than what that BPO value is. So in many cases, you can order an updated BPO. Or if you're just more concerned about the property condition, you can just order a property inspection. So you can order a drive-by inspection through NDS is one of our preservation companies you could contact, and they would do a drive-by inspection. They take pictures They give you occupancy indicators kind of telling you, you know, the condition of the property. Is it occupied? There's cars in the driveway. But they'll kind of just give you an overall condition report of that house from an exterior view. Now, keep in mind, you cannot see the interior of that house, and they cannot get inside the house. But in many cases, we hold these assets, as Kevin was saying. We'll go through a foreclosure. We'll start foreclosure process. And so a lot of these times, we hold these assets for several months. When we get ready to sell them, we don't always order updated BPOs. If I have a BPO that's 8 or 9 months old, I'm more than likely going to just get a property inspection just to make sure the condition of the property is the same. I'm not telling you that's what you have to do, but property inspection is going to run you about $20 versus a BPO could run you $100, $125, just depending on the location of the property. So that's your choice. Again, we buy these assets. We order fresh BPOs when we buy them. But if I sell it 9 months out, or if I'm still working that file 9 months out, I don't necessarily order a new BPO, but I may order a property inspection.
Right. And I agree with you because in my mind, realistically, how much in value could that, all things being equal, in other words, assuming they haven't damaged the house, assuming, you know, that sort of thing, how much have property values changed in the course of 9 months?
Correct.
You know, without something like that, probably not that much. And even if that did, it might be a 1 or 2% swing in one direction or the other, which isn't going to affect you anyway. But the property condition is. I would agree with that. And that's going to be cheaper, as you were saying, than getting a full BPO. Right, because they're just driving by, they're looking at the outside of the property, and they're just letting you know, yeah, neighborhood really hasn't changed, because they'll put that on the inspection as well. They'll see if there's been any permits pulled any kind of penalties or things like that for not maintaining the lawn, whatever it may be from the county. So, yeah, I don't know that you would really need to do a BPO on something like that. But the condition is something you want to take a look at. Yeah,
definitely. And his other question was, you know, what's the best, or what do we do if we find something at this point that we don't like? So you get a property inspection or another BPO, and there's something you don't like, then we need to talk about what you don't like about that. You know, if we go out there and the roof's caved in, then yeah, you're not going to like that. I get that. But you know, if you go out there and the paint's chipped off the front of the house, I mean, there's going to be sometimes change in these properties over a period of 9 months, and I get that. But you know, as far as cosmetics, that's just to be expected. But if there's something you don't like, you know, let's talk about it. Because you know, we definitely. And we like to hear your ideas on this as well, because you know, you may come back and just tell me that, well, I just don't like the neighborhood anymore. Well, the neighborhood really hadn't changed that much in the last 9 months. Let's talk about it. I mean, there's just things like that that you know we can talk through. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. I mean, we get that. And you know, there's no hard feelings if you don't like it, but let's talk through it.
Right. And to contact you, what you really mean is offering at colonialfundinggroup.com. Is that the best place to do that?
Yeah, because you're going to put your offers through. So just contact offering at colonialfundinggroup.com. And everybody remember that box or that email box goes to several people, including me. So we all see that. We all review that. So we will respond. One of us will respond to that.
Great. All right. Let's see. Eric, I'm going to come and just make sure we answered that fully for you. I think we have, but I see your name there. Eric, are you on? Eric Gullickson? Okay. Might not be able to speak there, but very good. If you need something else, you can type that in as well. All right. Let's see. Number two. This is from Susan and Buddy. Buddy and I are ready to purchase this note in Salisbury, Maryland. I think that is, my son was just there playing tennis. I think they have an indoor tennis center there that has a big tournament every year. I think that's where he went this weekend. So I have an idea where that is. This would be our first purchase, and we have reviewed all the documents from Colonial and from the online sites. We reviewed taxes, liens, crime, valuations. Don't see any red flags. We would like your experience opinion. Our strategy on this one is to get in and get out quickly. House is occupied, but we don't know who the occupant is. The workout would be a deed in lieu, cash for keys or foreclosure, with a quick sale at the auction or attorney's office. We're brand new at this, and just a quick review. All right, I'm going to search for those documents and see if I can locate those. But a couple of things while I'm doing that, that stands out to me. Let's define what this get in and get out quickly is all about, because foreclosure sales may not be that way on these. So I want to make sure that you're approaching this from the right angle here. So let me see if, yeah, there you go. I'm going to unmute Buddy. Buddy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. Is Susan on too, or just you? Because I can open her.
Yes, she is. So we're both here.
Okay, great. Let me unmute Susan as well. There she is. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome both of you. So let's talk about that issue first, and Charles can kind of address that. And with the confusion of last night, I don't have your documents in front of me, so I'm going to jump over to my other screen here and try to find your documents. But let's talk about what your overall exit strategy is on this and make sure if that works as well.
I think what we're thinking about there, get in and get out quick, as far as the notes might be a 4 month to 5 month deal. But, you know, unless we can do the person living in the house, if it definitely is the owner, then we might get out quicker with a modification or something, or a deed in lieu if we can't modify. But if we have to go the foreclosure route, we do know that it's going to be a good 3 months for the foreclosure. So,
and
I mean, we understand that.
That's what it is in Maryland?
Well, it even though it's judicial, it does say the average time is 3 months, is what the website said.
Okay, and by the website, it's probably this one you were talking about?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just checking there. And if anybody has done something in Maryland and had experience there and can enlighten us on the call, please feel free to type that in as well. But if we go with that it's assuming that it is a short foreclosure process. Okay, that was the one thing. So your approach now is get in. There is an occupied. Is that what the BPO said? It just said occupied, right?
Yeah, an unknown. Yeah.
Okay. And Charles, you typically see, I mean, these agents really have no choice but to put unknown or just occupied, right? Because they're not knocking on doors. They're not doing anything.
No. Typically what they're doing, they do just like an inspection company. They're looking for indicators that it's occupied. Is there an electric meter? Is electric meter owned? Is there cars in the driveway, furniture on the porch, or toys in the yard? Something of that nature. So that's typically what they're looking at. There's something that gave them the impression that somebody's living there, which is good, because, I mean, you know, to me, sometimes if it's occupied, you're not worrying about winterizing or the pipes freezing and busting, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as your exit strategy, I mean, you've got the right exit strategy down. You want them to get in. That's our ultimate goal, is to get in and get out as quickly as possible. As Kevin was saying, sometimes our foreclosure time frames can delay that some. But the first thing I would definitely do is I would set the expectation with my servicer. You know, this is what we want to do. I mean, the first thing you want to do is try to do a workout. If you can do a modification or workout, that's you know, that's always good, because, you know, they can get in there and get this loan modified. In many cases, maybe one that hasn't been worked a lot by a previous servicer, so that may be a good possibility to get that done.
Yeah, are you guys interested in a mod at all?
If it's quick, then sure, we'd be interested.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the first thing. And typically in the workouts, the servicer's going to have to offer a mod, at least giving them the opportunity to modify it. And if not, or if they make contact with the borrower, I mean, that's the primary thing, is making contact with that borrower and finding out, just what their situation is and what is their intention going forward. They may come back and say, yeah, we would like to modify, we just can't get caught up, whatever the case may be. But, the main thing is having that servicer reach out and contacting that homeowner as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and that's really that phase of gathering more information. You know, you have enough information, according to what you wrote here, to go ahead and buy the note, because worst case scenario, you have to foreclose, and it sounds like you guys are okay with that. You're okay with the time frame and the cost of that. We do have on the website where you can estimate what that cost is. You may want to go to the forum, by the way. If you're looking for some peer-to-peer communication, go to Connect, go to the forum, and just say, anybody have a good attorney they've used before in Maryland, something like that, to get prepared for that. Because I think at some point in time, you're going to need to wake these folks up again and say, look, you know, we're trying to reach out and contact you. This is sometimes how it happens. They reach out to try to contact the people, but these people at some point in time, they get conditioned to not responding. So they've effectively, again, just know if we ignore it, it eventually goes away and we're still in our house for free. You don't want that. At some point, you got to kind of shake them up. So as far as ordering the order of what they should do, Charles, and let me go through it, then you can add some things in here if you'd like. But yes, I agree that the first thing to do then is instruct that servicer or workout company to contact the borrowers, and let's see where their head is at, because that could help dictate the terms of this. So I'll have the workout company contact the borrowers. I would also start setting up an attorney, because they may have to end up filing some documents letting these people know that the time has come. You know, we're trying to reach out to you. If you don't hear from you, and I'll just tell you, they will respond a lot better to an attorney's letter than your letter. And we've seen that over and over where that happens. So set up an attorney. That attorney might have to then send out a letter. So at this stage of the game, it's either mod, is the first thing. Deed in lieu would be next. And then obviously, if you have to foreclose. And I would say that would be the order of what you want to do, because if you can get a quick mod done, and it might just be, again, these folks haven't made a payment because they're not incentivized to. They're too far in the rearage account and they lost their job, they're working again kind of thing, where you could mod and get a performing note, and it still could be a quick deal if you needed a quick out. You could season that note for, 3 to 6 months and turn around and sell all and part of it and make possibly even more money that way. So I wouldn't discount the modification, but you have to make that determination pretty darn quick. Because if you wait too long and they're going back and forth on the mod and yeah, we'll sign this and yeah, we'll do that, and you don't get anything back, they're playing you. And that's where you got to get that attorney involved and just let them know at the same time you got the carrot and the stick going, where it's like, hey, trying to work with you, but what you don't want to do is be 4 months down the road and you're trying to do a mod with them, or 3 months down the road and it's just falling apart. Now you've wasted 3 months. So you might want to start that whole track of at least letting – it doesn't even have to be a formal foreclosure, if you will, a notice of the – or in this case, a list pending. It could just be a notice that we are going to file that. That might be enough to wake them up.
Okay.
Maryland is a fairly quick foreclosure. But, buddy, let me ask you this. Is this a land contract or is it a note mortgage?
It is a land contract.
It is a land contract. Contract. So, was the land contract recorded?
I do not think. Is it?
No, it's a promissory note.
With the
from
land
harbor. Yeah, with the land contract.
Yeah, so you're probably going to go through a termination, and the termination process probably in Maryland's just going to be. I mean, it's because it is a land contract, even though it's got a note, it is a land contract. It's still going to be a quick process. I mean, the foreclosure, Maryland, as I recall, is a fairly quick process, but I'm going to say it's probably a 5-6 month process in Maryland order. But the land contract's more, it's basically more of an eviction type process as far as you're notifying them to vacate and terminate the land, that you're going to terminate the land contract. Not that a deed in lieu is still not an option here. You know, if you offer them a deed in lieu, you know, you might want to offer them $1,000 cash to execute the deed in lieu and vacate the property. You know, it's just as a simpler process as well, and you're not, I mean, because you're going to accumulate that probably in foreclosure attorney fees anyways. So,
okay.
In looking at the land contracts, I don't actually see one where Harbor Portfolio sold, actually has a land contract with the owner. I only see that there was a promissory note done in 2011 for the amount of $40,000 to.
Was there a special warranty deed or a mortgage that was created on that? There should be a mortgage too.
The only thing I.
If there's a note, there has to be a mortgage there.
I didn't see it in our documents when I went online. I didn't see any deed or anything for the particular person they sold it to.
Right. Okay. I was trying to look and see real quick here if I had anything.
And you may want to check too. This asset may already be sold. I'm getting an indicator from somebody over here that somebody may have already jumped on this one.
Ah, okay, because I saw it in the February offerings yesterday.
Yeah, double.
They came out late last night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this was just came out on the last tape?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it was on January, but it also came out on this one, yeah.
Okay.
So it wasn't brand new.
We can double check.
So, yeah, so there was an agreement for deed on this one, so which is basically a land contract. So if you see that, you see a document that was called agreement for deed. This was there was an agreement for deed on this. There was no a note on this. So so a lot of times land contracts will be referred to as agreement for deeds. It's the same concept, basically the same documents. It's called an agreement for deed, and it'll have land contract on it as well. So when you're looking at the docs, that look for the original agreement for deed.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
Is there a question about whether this is still available or not?
Hold on real quick. Let me just look at something, guys, while we're on the phone here.
I see that's the assignment.
I'm just going to check that real quick while we're at it. What you can also do is you just email the offering desk and they can tell you if there's one.
Okay.
I'm not showing that's sold, honestly. I'm still showing that's available. No, excuse me. That one is sold.
All right.
Yep. Sorry about that. That one is sold.
That's all right. This is good education for us because we're already looking into that new list.
Well, it's good to talk through this. I mean, the great questions, and you know, and this that'll speed it up the process when you go through the next note. So it's actually a great training exercise for everybody, and you know, and I hope we answered the questions that you know. And if you have questions, you always feel free to email them to us. But I mean, good job on doing the due diligence on this note.
Okay. Oh. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Susan, thank you all.
Yep.
All right. Got a little follow-up question to that one, Charles, and that is in regards to the timing of this. The basis of the question is going back to this first one, if you wouldn't mind, where someone does want to get a BPO, or in their question they said if somebody does need another title report or something like that done, they have to do that first, or we give them a little bit of time after they put in that indicative purchase offer?
No, we'll give them time after they put in their that indicative bid or that offer. Because, I mean, you're not going to order title before you choose an asset. So that's the first thing you want to do is secure the asset. And then you want to update your title. If your title is 9 months old, I recommend updating the title, calling the tax office and verifying taxes just to confirm those. So, yeah, so you've got a little time after that. Typically, again, pro title, they can get on there. They can get in there and get you a title pretty quick. So, so yeah, you have time after you put in that your indicative purchase on that asset.
Yeah, and I would say this also. Everybody has to keep in mind is as we continue to grow, as we process more assets, the system that we have in place is going to change. It's going to be modified. It's going to grow. It's going to inevitably mature. So, you know, keep in touch with us when you have questions like this on specific assets on things where you're wondering about time frame and this and that. You can, again, go to the offering and say, look, I want to get this one, but I'm concerned about the title report's a year old. I want to write another one. And Charles would tell you, fine, let's go ahead. You're ready to go ahead and say, I want to buy this. Let's get the process rolling. And then in the meantime, you can go ahead and start to get your title report or whatever it is done. And they'll hold that for you. So these things are going to change as we continue to grow. And but there's also some things coming pretty soon down the road that are going to be significant changes. Some of these are more modest changes, if you will, but we got some significant changes coming up. So we're always looking for ways to facilitate this and make this easy. So if you've bought notes in the past where maybe they said, well, I didn't have a chance to do this or that, look, that's why we have these weekly calls. And the more that you stay in these calls, the more you can stay in tune with us, because sometimes it's just impossible for us to send emails with, you know, subtle changes that we make in there. Do you agree with that, Charles?
I do. And I'll, since you kind of brought that up a little bit about all the changes and we've got a lot, really some exciting changes coming up in here pretty soon in the next probably 90 days. We're going to be rolling out an exchange similar to what the VIP asset exchange was.
See, I wasn't even going to go there, but all right. Remember, everybody, Charles brought it up. When Eddie hears about this, Charles brought it up, not me. No, I'm just joking.
No, we kind of want everybody to know that there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and you know, we talk about this on calls, but people are like, well, what's going on? But we are building a platform, and so, you know, I think it's, you know, we're probably going to start registering for that pretty soon. Probably won't be till April.
Mm-hmm.
The student register for that site, but it's actually in the process of being built right now.
And some of you who have been around a while, the person who is really running that operation, if you will, spearheading it, is Marshall. So Marshall, right. We brought him back in. So Marshall's working on that for us, and he's back with Note School. His schedule actually freed up, so we were able to scoop him up there. So good stuff, and you'll learn more about that as we go through. And Lisa was saying, by the way, she has a fantastic real estate agent in Maryland. So again, utilize that forum, everybody, because you can post things there. And if you're looking for something, go there. If you're not, and you're looking to see what other students like yourself are talking about, it's a great way to do it is through the forum. And again, it's easy to get to. Just go to Connect, and that big green box that stares you right there, just click on it. It takes you right there. You're going to log in. And it's the same username and password as your regular one for the Note School website. You just log in, and it's really easy to read through, to add things, to respond to things. So take advantage of that. It's being underutilized, in my opinion, right now. And it's something I think that carries a lot of power with it. So, okay, on to the next topic here. This one came in from John and Dean, and Dean and I purchased a note. I found that some work had already been done by an attorney. The borrowers wanted us to, so the borrowers and their attorney want John and Dean to sign an agreement to allow the house to go to a sheriff's sale. and that we will forgive the mortgage difference due to a short sale. Okay, that is known, by the way, as a deficiency. Okay, so if the house doesn't sell for enough to cover the mortgage down. Now, the reason, first of all, that they would want, the borrower would want somebody to sign this type of an agreement because their attorney has advised them that said, look, if this property goes to a foreclosure sale and the lender doesn't get paid in full, in other words, they don't get enough to cover that mortgage debt, they can still personally sue you. They can still file a deficiency judgment and pursue you in civil court. So what that attorney is trying to do is prevent that from happening to them. But you have to remember, who's in charge here? Okay? Is the borrower in charge of the foreclosure, or is the lender, the note holder, in charge? The note holder is, of course. They've already signed a security agreement that authorized the note holder, the mortgage holder, to foreclose. Whether that's judicial or non-judicial, at this point, irrelevant, is you don't have to take any terms that that borrower is trying to negotiate to allow it to go to a sheriff's sale. They can't disallow it to go to a sheriff's sale. So that's what I get just in that first paragraph. Then it says, we think it makes sense for us to sign it, but since we haven't discussed this in class, because that's a rare thing where somebody would do that, by the way, we are asking your opinion on signing or alternative options and recommendations. Okay, so let's stop there. I'll give you my opinion, and then Charles can chime in with his. My opinion is this. They are essentially making you guys an offer. They're saying, John and Dean, here's the deal. If you sign this agreement, okay, and it's, here's the agreement, right? God, I love attorneys sometimes. Okay, so here's the attorney. They identify all the parties and blah, 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 all through here. And then it gets down to the nitty gritty in this portion here. But essentially what they're saying is that if you sign this agreement and waive the rights of doing a deficiency judgment, my borrowers will cooperate with you in the foreclosure process, and they will vacate the property, okay, right here. Let me see if I can highlight that a different way. Hang on a second. Okay, the borrowers will, shoot, hang on a second. Where is my, no, I don't want text. Okay, anyway, you guys can see it right here. I'm trying to do too many things at once. But anyhow, what they're saying is this. Our borrowers will cooperate if you sign this and don't sue us afterwards in court. That's what they're offering you. I can't see any other conditions here that says that they will do that. Now, think of it forward. Okay, they're saying that they're going to do that, but let's say you foreclose and they breach their agreement here. Okay, do you have any recourse to the law? Of course, you can enforce this and take them to court and everything else, which would be a civil court, which a deficiency judgment would be anyhow. So I don't personally, and again, Charles might have a different interpretation of this because, again, we're not attorneys and all that. We're not rendering a legal opinion here. I'm just giving you my personal experience opinion on this. I don't see an upside on this. Okay, I don't see any. All they're saying is you are agreeing to not come after and sue us as a deficiency, and we'll cooperate after you spend the time and the money to foreclose upon us. What? I wouldn't sign it. Now, but again, I look at this as, sorry, Charles, I know you're reading that. Apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay.
it just dawned on me. I'm so used to doing this on my own.
No, you're fine. Go ahead, Kevin.
So I look at this as an offer. How I would counter to this is, look, if they're saying they would agree to the foreclosure, let's speed up the process for everybody. How about we then just do, I'll sign this agreement if they vacate the property immediately. Okay. In fact, we will sign this agreement. We'll have some kind of a 3-day thing or whatever it is where they can move out. You don't do any kind of final notification or if there's any cash and keys involved until the day that they are moving out. So if they want to be cooperative, let's make them wholly cooperative. And that is, I'll agree not to sue them. I'll agree to forgive all the debt, as a matter of fact, if they sign the deed over to me and get out of there. Okay. Now I'm assuming also now there's not other liens that might make it where you don't want a deed in lieu, but that's what I would do. Look at this as a initial offer from them and then counter it the other way. All right, Charles, how do you see it?
No, I agree, Kevin. And depending on how far they are in the foreclosure, if they're just starting this process, you know, it's, I would be like Kevin. I'd say, you know what? I will sign this agreement. You just give me a deed in lieu. And you agree to vacate the property, you agree to trash it out, make sure it's broom swept and clean and good condition. And then I would execute it, but I definitely would counter back to that borrower saying, I mean, I guess their attorney, this is coming from their attorney. So there's a reason that attorney felt like he had to send that in.
Right.
First of all, protect him from the deficiency judgment, but also, you know, you could also look at this as a, could be a red flag that borrower's got something that you could file a deficiency judgment against. Mm-hmm. That borrower's coming back saying, okay, I just want you to sign this, but you know what, they may have a $1 million ranch up there somewhere. And, you know, so there's a reason this borrower's asked this attorney or the attorney's asking this. And so I definitely would push back saying, okay, something's got to benefit me, okay? I agree. I want the property back. I want it clean. I want the keys. I want you to vacate it. But go ahead and give me the deed in lieu and get out now.
Right. And here's what I found interesting too, Charles, on the bottom of that contract, okay? So this contract the attorney set up here is 4 pages long plus this signature page. And you could see that Granite had, for those who don't know, Granite was an equity firm that used to sell a lot of non-performing notes. They signed it back in July 9th, 2015, but the other parties didn't. These are the property owners right here. So why didn't they sign at that point in time? So something's not passing the old sniff test here. And I think just signing that and giving up your rights as a lender, I don't see an upside. You got to counter on
it. Until they sign it, till the Woodfords sign it. But now, if the attorney's just now coming back, and this was signed back in July, I would kind of want to know. I definitely would look into this more for sure.
Yeah, and here's the other document that the supporting documents that they sent in. You can see on this particular case here that Granite did go to court to get the judgment. Okay, this is a foreclosure decree. And so they've taken it to this point. And what probably happened with Granite is they were pursuing a workout on this and trying to foreclose. And then they just put it in a portfolio and sold it. Right. I mean, that's what I'm
thinking. A lot of these were in foreclosure when we purchased them. So that was the whole thing. These were all in foreclosure and then they packaged them up and we purchased them.
Right. And they clearly indicate on here that the borrowers did sign, the note and the mortgage. And so the judgment here is making it very, very clear. They can't pull any of this. Show me the document. That's already been done here. The decree has already been issued on this. So this should, I'm assuming you can assume this position where you, your foreclosure time frame may even be shortened as a result of this. So, but counter, if you get cash for keys and again, assuming there's no other liens on there that you need to be concerned about, if you get cash for keys, man, get cash for keys and not go through the time and expense of this. But this indicates, and I'm totally projecting here, but this is that foreclosure decree. Well, this had to be, now this would have been sold by all the, signed by all the parties. I think we're just seeing a partial of that. Let me retract that thought process there. But that's what we're thinking on this. It just, I don't see an upside for you guys to sign it. So let me see if I can find you here now and make sure we answer your question fully here. All right, John, I see you first. So I'm going to come to you, John.
Hello, Kevin. Thank you for going over that with us.
Sure.
So it looks like The borrower had signed it on 7/20, I guess, and that was after the court date. Court for foreclosure, was it?
Yeah, for the judgment decree.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This wasn't the, now this decree is not the foreclosure. The foreclosure happens at the courthouse when it's auctioned. This is the document that the judge is saying, yes, they did sign the documents, and yes, you can proceed with that foreclosure sale. That's what this says.
Okay, so it doesn't mean that this agreement was ever signed, as far as we can tell, right? But it's saying that everything is in line, and the Woodfords can't stop us from going to foreclosure at this point, I think is what it says, right?
No, they can't. Judge has agreed. He signed off on it. The judge has agreed and issued a judgment. Now you go to the sale, the foreclosure sale, but this is where this agreement comes back into play. If you could get the deed in lieu, it's going to save you a little time there.
Okay. But is it ready now? I guess it's ready to go to sheriff's sale. I don't know what the next step is.
Yes. The attorney that issued the judgment, I'm not sure. Let me ask you, who is servicing this asset?
Peak.
Peak is. Okay, so Peak was continuing the foreclosure. So they just assumed the foreclosure sale from Granite when we bought the assets. They just transferred all that over. They continue to use the same foreclosure attorney.
And when we bought it from you, or from Colonial, we also kept it with Peak.
Okay.
And so, this attorney is communicating
to Peak, yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Peak, okay. And I think we have an attorney, or Peak has an attorney to help us out, but it seemed like...
Well, don't get too many attorneys involved. I mean, if this attorney still handled this from the beginning, that's the attorney that I'd want to complete the transaction. And that's the attorney that Pete needs to be communicating with, saying, okay, what's our next step? Will these borrowers sign a deed in lieu? Yes, we'll agree to sign this waiver of deficiency rights if they sign the deed in lieu and give us the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Vacate the property and leave it broom swept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Peak is essentially awaiting your instructions. So that's what Charles is pretty much telling you that your instructions should be. Well, let's do this, Peak. I want you to contact them and say, look, we'll agree to not pursue a civil deficiency judgment if they vacate the property through deed in lieu and keep it, as Charles said, swept clean. And that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah. And so change this agreement to indicate that they'll be out in so many days and turn over the keys.
That's all after the fact. So have Pete contact them and see if they at least verbally agree to that. And then the documentation can be done. And then sure, timeframes and all that can be agreed upon. But let's see if we're in the ballpark with the counter offer. Because they may come back and say, no, my clients aren't going to do that. And you go, well, fine. Then we have no choice but to enforce the security agreement. We're going to foreclose. Simple.
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't sign this agreement if that happens.
Yeah, I just, unless Charles, you can think of an upside to signing this, I can't.
No, I mean, you know, other than getting them out of the house and they remove all the trash and debris. Because as you know, sometimes debris removal can cost you $2,000 or $3,000 or more. Sometimes people just grab what they want and they leave the last 20 years of belongings in the house. And yeah. So my question, does the borrowers have their own attorney that provided this document?
Yes. I think they do, yes. Yeah.
That's where Ms. Charles came from.
So, yeah, so your attorney just needs to go back to their attorney and say, hey, look, I mean, they've hired an attorney for a reason, okay? Typically, when people get foreclosed, they don't generally go out and hire an attorney to get, unless there's a reason behind them asking for you to waive the deficiency. And or they've gotten advice from an attorney, and that attorney's charging them for this great advice he's giving them. So just have your attorney go back to their attorney and say, look, we don't have a problem signing this. We will waive all deficiency rights as long as they vacate the property and sign a deed in lieu.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the reason they're doing this is because the balance, according to the court case, was almost $59,000, and the house, I'm sure, is not worth that.
Sure. Tell them you'll forgive the entire debt, very simple, with a deed, in lieu. Because here's what they're giving you. C and D are the two telling ones on this. The lender agrees to waive its rights of deficiency judgment, which we talked about, release them from personal obligation. That's what the deficiency judgment does. And then you can take the property to a sale. And the borrowers are giving you the great benefit of they will leave on the day of the sale or before that date. I mean, they're not giving you anything. So now let's, how about you leave, you know, short period of time, deed in lieu, get it done. Yeah, that's that's absolutely the right way to go.
The other thing gets me, no fixtures or attachments will be removed. So basically they're telling you if you don't sign this, they have the right to take your light fixtures, your plumbing fixtures, your cabinets and everything in the house.
Yeah.
See, no fixtures or attachments are to be removed from the property. You don't want to make, you know, you want to make it as an easy transition for everybody. And what you don't want is a borrower to move out and take all your light fixtures. And you know, I mean, I bought a house one time sight unseen, and, you know, the borrowers were not happy that I didn't realize that they weren't happy. And they had went in, cut the plumbing, the pipes on the plumbing in half. And when I got out there to the house, I had the water cut on. When I got to the house, there was water running out the front door. Well, it had been shooting up through the sink into the ceiling all through the house. And so, you know, you don't want to make them mad because a lot of times they will do that. So you want to try to come to an agreeable solution for both parties. And you know, but again, push back and say, hey, look, I'll be glad to do this. Just give me the deed in lieu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. Good deal. All right, John.
And Dean is on the on a telephone line. I don't know if you can turn him on or not.
Did we answer everything for him?
I don't know if he has any questions.
Okay. I'll look for him real quick. All right. I don't see. Dean, I'm sorry. I do not see you there. I wonder if your phone's in a different name. Don't see you. I'll assume we've answered that for you. All right. Number four, guys, I'm in the process of getting a deed in lieu where the borrower passed away. Now the daughter is handling things and has power of attorney. The law office that was handling the deed in lieu for Luke put everything on hold, but suggested that the daughter that was handling deed in lieu for me. Okay. Put everything on hold, but suggests that the daughter opens probate and elects to be executor of the estate in order to continue with the deed in lieu. Do you have any suggestions? What can I do while waiting for the probate process in order to protect my interest in the property and or start to move forward in selling it? Properties in St. Louis. Borrower died at the end of December. Okay. Well, having the person who's on the obligation to pay and on the security agreement does not stop foreclosure in any sense, right? We can still foreclose. We don't need the borrower's permission to do that. We have to make sure that the borrower is in breach of contract, which obviously in a non-performing note, they are. So the daughter's now handling this. There is going to be this gray period of time here. We're like, well, who's in charge? Who can make a decision? Because I'm assuming if the daughter just got things from a power of attorney, there may not be estate planning involved here. There's certainly no trust involved. It's done through some kind of a will with power of attorney. So the daughter's now stepping into this place and she doesn't know what to do. And that's going to be pretty common. So when someone passes, generally that's what's going to happen. They'll hire an attorney. They have to open up an estate. Essentially, the assets of the deceased go into the state and then claims come on that estate. And then the courts decide how to disseminate the remaining assets of that state based upon whether it's a secured interest or an unsecured interest. That's essentially in a nutshell what happens there. So there'll have to be communication opened up between your company or your company's representative and the daughter or her representative. So the suggestion is you got to set up that communication first and find out the parties involved. Once the parties are involved, they may, as a part of that process, if there's more owed on this property than the property is worth, or there's no equity in the property, in other words, or negative equity, they might just say, yeah, go ahead and proceed with the foreclosure if you want to, or they might just sign it, sign and say, yep, we'll let that go. If there is equity in the property, it could go a little bit different direction here. So I would say the first thing is, once again, I don't know if there's enough information at your disposal to give good guidance, because we don't know what's the equity involved and what was the size of the estate. I mean, sometimes people pass away and they don't even have to open an estate because their only asset was their home and maybe a small checking account, and there was no equity in the property. So the end game, though, is you're still going to be able to get the asset, the house, because you have a secured interest within it. Charles, what's your insight on that?
No, I mean, you covered it pretty good. And I had reached out to Luke, and I don't think I didn't even get to talk to him yesterday about this, but I did see an email. I think there were 3 or 4 kids involved in this. Now, the daughter does have the power of attorney, so she could, I mean, we could move forward, and they could, the daughter can open the probate because she actually has the power of attorney. You know, as far as, you know, him moving forward to selling it, you can't move forward until you have the deed in lieu. You can't sell anything and take possession of the property until you either foreclose or get the deed in lieu, Luke. So, you know, I would go back to the attorney and have the attorney that's representing you go ahead and make contact with them to move forward with the probate. I mean, you know, and see about getting that deed in lieu. I mean, the attorney should be directing you on, you know, the best way to handle this, but I think the attorney's going to have to go ahead and move forward to probate and try to reach out to the daughter, I guess, that has the power of attorney, and work on getting that deed in lieu. Now then, you know, again, the daughter has full power of attorney, can sign on behalf of the estate, you know, she can execute that deed in lieu.
Well, yeah, and you know what, technically, and Michelle, you're absolutely correct. Michelle made a good point here, and this is a technical point, but I think an important one. Deed in lieu does end when the person passes away. So when the person passes away, that deed in lieu is gone, but now it goes to the estate, and then the executor of the state can make decisions, if you will. So it's a little bit of a technical difference, but you are absolutely correct there, Michelle. Sorry, Charles, go ahead.
No, you're right. I mean, that's a good point, Michelle. Thanks for bringing that up. But yeah, I mean, he just needs to get the attorney to push forward with the daughter to open probate and get this deal resolved. Mm-hmm. You know, there may or may not be equity in this, and the kids may just, you know, 9 times out of 10, the kids they're not going to want it. They're just, you know, they're just dealing with the loss and probing what's left in the will.
But this is eventually going to turn into an attorney from both sides really talking to each other is how this is going to get resolved. Do you agree? Or
I agree. Yes.
Yeah. So that's ultimately what will probably have to happen here. See what happens with the probate and. Again, once the probate is set up, there'll be an attorney that represents, you know, the daughter as the executor in the estate, and you'll have to have an attorney. Could a workout company, servicing company, work with them, or would they have to get an attorney on?
No, that's the workout can use their attorneys as well. The servicing companies has attorneys that can deal with probate as well.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Let me see if there's questions on that one. Frederick is asking, is the estate liable for any deficiency? Wouldn't finding out the size of the estate be a good state? Here's the thing with the deficiency judgment, okay? It's a civil judgment. So what he's thinking of, well, you know, if we're not made whole, if we had to take this to a foreclosure and we don't get the whole amount of the loan, remember, of course, you didn't pay what was owed on the note. You bought it at a discount. Pursuing a deficiency judgment is not the most common thing at all by banks, by anybody, because now how much time and effort do you want to spend taking them to court to try to get something out of that? And normally what you'll find is it's not even worth it. Take the property back for what you have it in the note and move on, man. Don't worry about all that. So Luke, in this case, wouldn't have to pursue this estate and find out what it's worth or anything. All he wants is the property. And that's what you would want to. All right. Let's see. Yep. We talked about that.
Are there any deficiency judgments that are filed or ever recovered? They're just not.
All right, let's see. Yeah, and gotcha. Yeah, we're getting a bunch of those. Power of attorney ends it. Yeah, got it, everybody. We just said that cannot sign. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so it does go through the estate, as we said. Perfecto. All right, number five here. let's see. Well, that's a long one. All right, this is less. If the buyer of a note, we hold the purchase home with the land contract. I know we hold the deed. Okay, I got you. But how do we get the property back if they stop paying? So let's answer that one, which is pretty simple. So if you bought a note and they stop making payments on the note, you enforce the security agreement. Okay. And in this case, the security agreement is the land contract. And what you'll do is enforce the language of the land contract. And that's where you have to look at the language of the land contract, because, again, there's no cookie cutter. This is a land contract, and this is the land contract that everybody has to use in every state. It doesn't work that way, okay? They can be written up different ways. Remember, in real estate, as long as it's legal and both parties agree, you can pretty much write a contract the way you want to write it. So you enforce – sorry. I was trying to talk and type. You enforce the security agreement is what I meant to write there. And that's what you would do. So if your land contract says that they're within a probationary period that allows you to evict them versus foreclose upon them, then that's what you would do. If your land contract says after a certain point in time, the probation period expires and then it goes to a regular foreclosure, well, then you would foreclose to whatever the normal foreclosure arrangement is in that particular state, either judicial or non-judicial. Anything there, Charles, I missed, or that's pretty much on spot? Okay. And let's see. I'm thinking we don't have to foreclose and evict. Yeah. Again, that's where you have got to read that. I always forget I have this. Charles, you'll like this one here, buddy. This is what I usually do on my call, but forgetting to do. You ready?
Okay.
Oh, hang on a second. I got it. Oh, come on. Now it's going to fail in front of Charles here. Come on.
Exactly. I want to see this, Kevin.
It is. It's really cool. I'm not sure why it's not. It's going over to my picture. Oh, no. That's just what I'm talking. All right, I can't see the icon come up, but I'm going to try it anyway.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. Okay, so read the language of the contract itself and then follow accordingly, period. Huh?
I am impressed. See that, Charles? Wow. That's good, Kevin. That's it.
Charles?
You have to delete your part.
I know, still got it. So, yeah, it automatically types for me.
That's good. I like that.
That's pretty good, right? That's why I told Eddie. I said, man, get a Mac. Eddie hates typing. I said, get a Mac and just a couple of buttons and just talk and it'll type for you. All right.
The best way to do it.
If we ask them to leave cash for keys and they refuse, what's our next step? All of these questions really come back to the same thing, which is read the agreement, you know, and if you have to motivate them cash for keys, then, you know, that's still okay too, because that could ensure that they keep the property in good condition. Now, if you are doing cash for keys, once again, have somebody out there that doesn't give the cash, if you will, the check, until they do a little walkthrough and the property's been kept in proper shape. Okay. Let's see. Good. Got forced place on it. Excellent. Pays $455 a month. Rent in the air is now $780. Okay, good. So you're in good shape there. So they were making payments. All right. I'm guessing they stopped making payments. But I haven't found out what's happening. Sure. On the servicing company here, I mean, that's what you're paying them to do. So servicing companies typically are also workout companies. And yeah, absolutely. Have them call. If the mail isn't working, have them pick out the call. So I'm assuming these people were making payments on this land contract, and for whatever reason, they stopped. If they're still in there, I mean, you start crunching numbers, and I know you're crunching numbers. Oh, hang on. Let me mute myself for a minute here.
Always advise your servicers. Let me just say this. Always advise your servicers to start calling immediately. So if they're delinquent on their loan, always just have the servicer call them, even before they send a letter. I mean, they can send letters and call at the same time, but always tell the servicers start a call campaign right away. Don't send out a letter and wait for them to respond. I want them to try to contact them, verify the numbers are good, and start trying to make contact with that borrower by phone immediately.
Yeah. Les, I've got you unmuted because is this occupied or not? Or I know you're focused on...
Yeah, it's occupied. The guys have been paying up until we bought the note, practically. So, and they've been in there for a couple of years. So okay. I'm assuming they'd like to stay. In December, they notified our servicer that they were about to send in a $500 payment, which we never saw.
Okay.
So at one point I said, have you contacted these guys? Do you know what's going on? And they just said, well, we're sending out letters.
Okay.
So, and yes. I've looked into the land contract, as he suggested. It says basically if they don't pay on time, we can give them a 10-day notice to quit. And if they don't immediately do it, let's see, it says seller should be entitled to exercise all rights of the landlord under applicable local law to evict buyer from the property.
Okay.
So that sounds like that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. So I would absolutely, if they can stay and pay again, you got to find out what happened. And letters, right. I mean, they're just not going to do that. So in this one, you know, my advice would be get that servicer to get on the phone. If that's not what they do, okay, if that's not on their menu, so to speak, well, you don't have to use that same servicer to do everything. You could get somebody else to do a workout on that kind of thing for you and have them make the phone calls and find out what's going on. And I don't think, and Charles, correct me if I'm off on this one, but look, if you take up the mantle yourself and say, well, I'm going to call them, first of all, can you do that? Well, if you're calling them to find out the situation and you're not calling to collect a debt, I don't think there's any problem with that. You're just trying to find out, do you all plan on staying or not, or do you all plan on making some payments? You're not there to collect anything. You're not there threatening. You're just trying to find out what the scenario is. I don't think there's any problem with you making that call either.
Cool. All right. Thank you. Right.
Now, again, if you want to outsource that and this particular servicing company maybe doesn't do that, well, fine. Let's get somebody who does. And let them make the phone call if you don't want to do that. Because when it does turn to debt collection, that's when the potential for licensings and things like that may come into play. Would you agree with that assessment, Charles?
Yeah. I agree with that.
Okay. But 100%. Communications, you know, sometimes that's the only thing missing, you know, is what's going on. Because they're on the other end going, I don't know, we keep getting these letters, but you know, we're not going to pick up the phone. We don't know who to talk to. We don't know what they're going to ask, you know? So yeah, pick up the phone, you do it yourself or outsource that to somebody else and open those lines of communications up. Because I think if you crunch the numbers where you're probably doing this less, but just for everybody's sake, you're crunching the numbers as best case scenario. And it looks like you're crunching the numbers for worst case scenario. If I have to take it back, what's the process? And then what's my exit strategy? And it looks like you're going 50-50 on that. Perfect. That's what you should be doing. How am I getting in? How am I getting out? But let's pick up the phone now and find out what's their mindset? What are they looking to do? Because if you can get that note performing, even if you got to stretch the terms, whatever, you can make yourself a real nice note, manufacture yourself a real nice note with them in the house. And then if you need to cash out for any money, I mean, you got the partial aspect.
Right. Okay, cool. Thanks so much.
Okay, Les, you bet. All right. Let's see. Actually, Lisa, it's Apple bought that company a ways back. So it's the same framework though. Yeah. For the typing. All right. Let's see. Even not. Okay.
Lisa can't even get a microphone. She can't get a Mac until she at least gets a microphone.
Okay. All right. After delinquency bar. Okay. We got that all answered. Oh, no. This is a different question. Sorry about that, Raymond. After delinquency, can a borrower merely be evicted like a landlord status after a notice of reform is sent, et cetera? Okay. We actually just answered both of those at once, I think, right, Raymond, which is just that. Read the document and see if there's that probationary period. And if not, then it may be as simple as an eviction. And that's it. So it's, again, these land contracts are, think of it, I remember back in the day, Joe Varnador and I, when we were buying seller finance notes, we bought a note on a written on spiral notebook paper. I mean, the guys just sat down and inked out a deal, and it was legal. It was enforceable. Both parties agreed. There was a meeting of the minds, met all the definitions of a legal binding contract, and that was fine. So these land contracts work in a similar fashion in that they can vary and do vary. You guys might think that they're templated because a lot of the land contracts that you see are coming from the same two companies, but don't assume they all look like that. So just read through them and then enforce what you need to there. So Raymond, I'm going to assume that you've got that answer on there. So if not, just type in a question here because we're hitting the top of the hour. Got one more to go here. All right, Barb, I know you're on the call. I saw you writing in something earlier there. Yep, same thing with me, Bob. It just wasn't showing up because my GoToWebinar panel was covering it up. That's why I couldn't see it. All right. Borrower has finally called me after 2+ years. Now that we went through foreclosure. All right. This would be an interesting one. She wants to stay and will allow her to stay with some money up front. This must be a New York asset or something here. Wants to stay, will allow her to stay with some money up front, plus a decent monthly payment. My question is, what structure should we create so that we can someday deed the house back to her? Well, that's called paying you off in full, so that's easy to do. She is able to bring the first current again, and it will be in her workout agreement that first must be current as well as taxes, insurance. I just need some ideas how to write up the, okay. Do I need a lease agreement? All that sort of stuff. All right. So let me capitalize all of that as best I can, Barb, and then I'll get you on the call here. Okay. So you bought a note, non-performing note. You took it all the way through the foreclosure process, and somehow she's still in the house, or maybe she is living with someone else and would want to move back in the house. We got to get that question answered first, but she indicated that she wants to stay. So if you are going to allow her to do that, which of course you do not have to do if this house has been foreclosed upon, you're basically going to be creating a whole new note. So all these other questions that you have here is, it's what your loan officer, your representative, your loan officer is going to create with this person. That's really it, because that other note, if it's been foreclosed upon, that note and mortgage, it's gone. It's done. There's no modification of that. What you're doing here is now a full just rework on this as if this person was a new buyer. But let me make sure that's the case first here. And there you go, Barb.
This is a first lien note that he bought. He's talking about, right, Kevin?
Barbara, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hey. Give us the skinny on that. Is that accurate, or what am I missing here?
First, it is a Florida property, not New York, West Palm Beach. She is still living in the property. Hmm. She never made any attempts to call me back after all the
Okay, let me stop you there, Barbara. So I understand, and Charles understands. Has it been foreclosed upon, or is it in the process of foreclosure?
No, it's done. It's done from second position.
And she never, how long has she been in there after the foreclosure sale?
This just happened 3 weeks ago.
Okay, why is she still in there?
Well, Barbara's the second lien. The first lien foreclosed. Barbara had foreclosed.
Oh, Barb had. Yeah. Oh, Barb, this is a second loan?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Did you put that in your email?
Well, it says the first has to be current again.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, because I was curious if this was a second lien.
Oh, so I see.
So the first has foreclosed.
Okay, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, I foreclosed from second.
You foreclosed first. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay.
All right. Well, tell you what, Barb. Tell us I couldn't pick that up from this. Again, we get a bunch of emails, everybody. So the easier you can lay that out, like this is a second note that makes it a heck of a lot easier as we read through a lot of these, just in general terms. But so, Barb, give us tell us a story here real quick on what this is, because I'm a little bit confused on
what goes on. Sorry about that. This is a second. There's a small first with like a $36,000 balance on it. She owes us about $76,000 on the second. She only stopped paying the first when she knew foreclosure was imminent, but she's not that far behind and has told me that she can easily catch up on that and will keep the taxes and so forth current and would like to stay, but she is willing to move if we want her to. I don't really want her to move. She can stay. I just want her to start paying again. She had no attempt whatsoever to contact us except that she was paying a lawyer to delay us as long as possible and, you know, caused about $7,000 worth of lawyer fees to get this thing done in Florida over these 2 years. So it was a contested foreclosure for sure. And now she finally called.
Okay. So the question is, what do we do now? So, Charles, this is really just a pure workout, right?
It is a workout. So, I mean, you've gone through the foreclosure, so technically you could evict her out of the property. But, you know, she's paying the first. You have confirmed she's paying the first, right, Barb?
She is a little bit behind, but I'm going to get clarification and proof that she catches that up if she wants to stay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if she's paying her first lien holder, I mean, at least this is because if the first forecloses, you're just be wiped out. Correct, Barb?
Correct. Yes.
Because there's not enough equity in for you to pay off the first lien holder. So this is the situation here is that there's an opportunity for you to get her back on track, paying you, and you collect the money, and you know everybody's happy.
Correct.
Versus the first foreclosing eventually and wiping you out completely, unless you wanted to pay off the first. But let me ask you, does she have any money that she can pay down to put down
I just asked her for her financial documentation. She says she can put $2,000 down and $399 a month.
Okay.
I think she's waiting for her tax return, too, so I want to see what all that looks like when she sends it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's your best bet, because basically you're going to create a new land contract or note on this deal. Now, however, if I was to go back and work a deal with her, I would probably talk to my attorney about having a deed in lieu executed in case she does default again, to where you wouldn't have to go back through a foreclosure process. So basically, if you created a new security instrument, there's also a deed in lieu stating if you don't pay according to your deed, according to this, the new security instrument, within this certain time frame, this deed in lieu will come in, will record the deed in lieu. Basically, you take title back to the property.
Well, since we foreclosed, I do have title, just subject to the first, so how would I work that?
Well, I mean, so are you just thinking about doing like a lease purchase back to her? I mean, you're going to have to create, how are you thinking that you wanted to do this? Because you're going to have to create another note to this property, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I can create another note. I just didn't know if I should deed it back to her now as a purchase mortgage type thing, but it's second position, so I'm just really not clear.
Well, I mean, I don't, if you did a land contract, you could do a land contract on this, where the deed would be in your name on this property, and just don't record your land contract.
That sounds like the simplest solution.
But then again, I would still want some type of, even on an unrecorded land contract, you still have to go through a termination process. Florida, you can still terminate, I believe, in Florida as well. The best thing to do is go back and, first of all, look at the financials, see how much money she really can come up with. You know, should you counter that back, say, well, I can do that if you can put $4,000 down. Or, you know, I'd give as much money up front as I could.
Right.
But again, it could be a win situation for you. I mean, if she's made efforts to keep the first current, or try to bring it current, or at least get them back on, get paying. I mean, I think there's a possibility here that, you know, you could protect your interest and get her back performing again.
That sounds like the solution I'm looking for.
But that would definitely be mine, because, again, you're not going to buy out the first because of the equity in the property. So, to me, that's really would be a win situation if you can get her performing again.
Right.
And I don't know what you paid for the second, but still, I think that would be your best choice. Have you ever received payments from her at all?
Or
you
just, never.
You just started foreclosure right after you bought the note.
Well, we tried contacting her in the beginning, but never got anything back from her at all. And so it took a couple months until we went through with the foreclosure. But then she had her attorney, stop at every 11th hour along the way and delay us along the way.
Well, she had money to pay the attorney fees to do that, so I'd definitely try to get some money as much as I could up front.
Exactly.
At least some of your cost, to recoup at least your cost or your foreclosure expenses.
Exactly. That's the first thing that gets paid back.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that there's a deal here, and, you know, the main thing is finding out how much she could put down, and that's probably what I would do is create it on a land contract and just have a deed. You'll deed it to you, but the land contract will be in her name. Once she pays for it, she gets title to the property.
Right.
Or the second's released, in other words. Not the title, but the second will be released.
Right. Okay.
Does that help?
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Thanks, Barb. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Barb, and thank you, Charles. You gave me an opportunity to catch up on. You probably saw me as zoned out over here typing. So
yeah, I didn't see your computer typing my notes in there.
All right, so I cleaned up a lot of the small questions that we had on the. Side here, and just got time for one quick one that you could probably help us out with here, and I'll just copy it over here. Pretty simple one. Roman, I'm going to have to cover yours again. He even admitted he sent it in last minute to get this on the call, but we're running long, and we both have Charles and I have obligations to get to, so I'll have to cover that with you. Separately, probably need some other documents on that as well, based upon what you're writing and what you're looking to do with it. So, Roman, if you're still on, just note that, and I'll flag your email here. But so, if you're going to send stuff in for content on the calls, everybody, the earlier you can do that, the better. In fact, what I do, and I'm sure Matt does the same things, the first ones that get sent into us are the first ones that we cover in that order. So the earlier you get them in, not only is your deal going to be covered first, but also if you've got some things that require us to do additional research, additional digging, looking up an asset or something like that, get them in early so we have time to do that, because we have other conference calls and tapes and all kinds of stuff, as you can imagine, to do. So just a note on that to everybody, and I'm not picking on Roman or anybody else, because I know sometimes last minute it's like, I wonder if I can get it under the wire. Usually on a Wednesday you can get away with that, but this week, because of the glitch we had last night, couldn't get to it. All right. Haven't seen any assets where Colonial Funding Group has started the foreclosure. How is that noted? Now, Frederick, where you lost me on this was, how is that noted? So I'm going to come to you right now first and answer properly. Frederick, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Charles said said something just kind of in passing at the beginning of the call today, talking about that in some cases Colonial has started foreclosure processes. Obviously, that's a good thing. If you're buying a non-performing note, it cuts your time short. I'm just wondering how, if at all, is it noted in the due diligence files?
Fred, that's a very good question. Probably the first time that's been asked, but it's a very good question. So it's not notated in the generally, it's not notated in the due diligence file. So if you're buying a non-performing note from a tape, nine times out of ten, there's some type of foreclosure proceeding going on with that property. Okay, we don't get status updates typically from the servicers every week or every month as far as that goes. All we know that there is a foreclosure. They do notate it in the system that the foreclosure is, you know, in process. So one thing you can do if you're buying an asset that's non-performing, the servicer Peak is one of our servicers, Clear Springs another servicer. So when you're boarding that asset with your servicer, if you're using Peak, you just want to ask them, was there a foreclosure in process? We want to just assume the foreclosure in process. Unfortunately, they don't give us ETAs necessarily on the foreclosure timelines or where the files are in foreclosure. It's not till they email us to say, hey, we need to get a bid for this foreclosure sale, and it's going to sell that date. So we will notate those if we know we've got a sale coming up shortly. But, you know, generally these are in all stages of the foreclosure process. But keep in mind that, you know, when you're buying a non-performing, if it hadn't paid in 12-plus months, more than likely there is a foreclosure in process working on that file. And those foreclosures can be assumed by you once the servicing transfer, because we'll close our file, and if it's Pete can transfer that attorney over to your file and continue that foreclosure process.
Can we find that out during our due diligence period, or is that something that...
You can ask the question. I can tell you if it's in a foreclosure. May not necessarily be able to tell you what stage. Can't always give you an ETA because of the volume of the foreclosures. They don't give us ETAs anymore just because you know, time frames vary so much in different areas.
All right, thanks a lot.
Excelente. Let's see if this works. I'm trying to upload something to, there it goes. I had to do a little different way. I just uploaded this document to everybody on your GoToWebinar panel so that you have it in front of you as well. But we now have some dates scheduled. And we have a Titanium Mastermind coming up. There's going to be some emails going out. That would be this week, I believe, because this was on the 2nd. So Titaniums, you should be getting an email from us regarding your Titanium Mastermind coming up. Please always check your junk email and make us an allowable email sender, if you will, so it doesn't go in your junk folder anymore. But here's the website that we have set up for you. You can go to that website and get more details on the Titanium Mastermind. And it looks like you guys are going to have fun. Are you going to that game and everything? You are, Charles, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be there.
Lucky duck. That looks like fun to play. I think they're playing the Orioles, right?
They're playing the Orioles, yes.
Interesting.
I think that's who they're playing, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be a great weekend there.
Yeah. All right. And then we got Summer Summit. So you got your dates for the Summer Summit there. June 10th, the Titaniums will be there. Everybody else be there 11th through the 12th if you want. We have a Rich Rewards class going on at the same time. So there will be some overlap. And you as a mentor student, you can be in either room you want. My recommendation, of course, is be in the Summer Summit. Many of you have already been to the Rich Rewards class before. And you may be better off served at the Summer Summit, but some of you that may not be the case, and you can go back and forth, no problem. All righty, and info on the hog hunt coming up. Just email Matt. Also, ladies, you got another Martha's second mastermind for the Note School ladies only, if you will, April 29th through 30th, and there'll be an info webinar coming up real soon. You can email Matt about that as well. So check those out, and the sooner you let us know you're coming to those events like the Summer Summit and the ladies event, the mastermind event for Titanium, the sooner you let us know, it's so much easier for them to book rooms and space and food and drinks and everything else that we do at those events. So please, if you're planning on coming, let us know as soon as you possibly can. It really helps us in planning that out. I know they appreciate that, because it's a heck of a lot of effort, as you can imagine, to put those events together. So thanks, everybody. Charles, thank you for being on with me today. That was fun having somebody else on here going back and forth.
Great. As good call. And just real quick, Kevin, we released a tape last night on the member site, so everybody should have gotten an email. But if you didn't, there's a new tape on the member site for you to go in there and buy assets.
Well, that's for Titaniums at this point, right?
No, nope, that's for everybody.
Okay, that's already passed, huh?
We're behind, Kevin. That's everybody now.
So this is what happens when I stay home too much. I lose track. I go out I know where I'm going. And Joe, I see you got a quick question there. Joe LeCount, we're going to see you in Minneapolis coming up soon. That's not this weekend, but next weekend. I hope you're going to be there. Peak servicer, do any faster. Yes. Good question. I'm sorry, Charles. Let me get this one too.
You're good.
We have you're boarding more loans with Peak.
Correct.
Is that going to be indicated on the tape?
It will not be indicated on the tape. But here's how you can tell if a property starts with a 2015 or 2016. That's a Peak service loan. So when you see these loans, they start off with 2015 or 2016. They start their account numbers off by the year they were boarded.
All right.
Those are Peak.
I happen to have a tape open already. So what you're saying is, if you look in this first column where all the numbers is, and it starts with 2015.
Right.
Or what was the other one?
Or 2016, which you don't see any 2016 because we just started our acquisitions for this year. But all those 2015 asset numbers there are Peak service loans.
Aha. Thanks
so
for
that. That's how you can tell if it's a Peak service. If the five-digit ones are currently ClearSprings, we are in the process of moving a lot of this, our not Peak servicing, but our ClearSpring servicing will be switching over to Security National. So those numbers, those five-digit numbers could change. And we'll talk about that once we know how the account number setup will be, but you know, the servicing has been sold from ClearSprings to another company, and so we will be reboarding those loans here in the next 30 days, probably with a new company.
Mm-hmm. All right, fantastic. So yeah, it looks like most of the non-performing, with the exception of four, are all Peak, and then these are all still ClearSprings on the performing side. So good question. Glad we got a nice little shortcut answer to that. So thanks, Joe, for asking that. And yes, that was the whole idea, Kathy, was with Peak, unlike ClearSpring that just works with portfolios and yet got to be a large investor, Peak has agreed with us as Note School, and it's the only company that I believe that they've ever done this with before that will continue to service on a one-off basis. And again, that's because of the power of the group of Note School students. So yes, you can. And your documents will, you know, obviously it'll be quicker transfers and everything else because it's all staying at one place. So that was the whole idea and why we did that. So very good. All right. So thanks again, everybody, for being on the webinar. And Charles, thanks again for being here with me today.
Pleasure, Kevin.
All right. Look forward to talking with you all again soon. Have a good evening.
Thanks, everybody. Good evening.